Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is the Donna Sebo Show, and I'm delighted that you're going to be with me this next hour. I do want to let you know that our guest, Carol Buckley, who's with the Elephant Sanctuary, we've been trying to reach her, and she's out with the elephants somewhere. So we are going to try to, as soon as we are able to connect with her, then we will be bringing her online. But these animals require her attention, and I know this has happened before. So we're just going to be very patient and see how we can get a hold of her. Meanwhile, I wanted to give out our toll-free number where if you should like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight later on in the hour. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. Make a note of that. We've got so many wonderful things to share with you today. And like I said, as soon as we get a hold of Carol, then we will be having her on the air with us, because I know she's busy with elephants. I wanted to share with you a wonderful, wonderful poem by Amanda Bradley, and I thought it'd be a wonderful way to start our afternoon. It's, "Today is yours. Don't wait until tomorrow to reach out and grow. To learn something interesting you didn't know, don't wait until tomorrow to find ways to share, to make a new friend, really show that you care. Don't wait until tomorrow to follow your heart, to savor the beauty that life can impart. Don't wait till tomorrow to let yourself start. Take time to do it today." Amanda Bradley is a poetess, and she just does such a wonderful job. And I think that those, you know, that's so important. We need to realize that where we are and who we are and what we're doing counts for right now. Have you ever had a conversation with someone that they'll start talking and the next thing you know, they're telling you about things that have been in the past, and they go over and over and over and over this? Well, usually the first few times you hear something like that, it's okay and you're comfortable. But it gets a bit old, doesn't it? Because if you stick yourself in the past all the time, if you dwell on that, if you don't make it okay that you've made mistakes, that there's been the pain and suffering, if you don't make it okay that what has been is what has been, learn from it and grow forward and make your today what it's supposed to be, the best of what it possibly can be. It's pretty miserable, isn't it? Have you ever been around somebody like that? That's all they do is go on and on and on and on, and you finally reach a point. I know I have in some conversations, say, well, you know, that was the past. What about today? And you know they can't make a shift. It's really a sad thing when you find that you're stuck, when you're in a rut, where you're not willing to learn and grow from what you've experienced and move forward into the bettering of who you are. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It's what you do with right here, right now, that creates your future. Because I've been involved in psychic work for so many years, and I've worked as a counselor and as a minister, I've had so many people wanting to have everything outlined in black and white for them. And I'll say, it's not black and white, it's more like a rainbow. Your future is a lot of what you work with today. Now, I believe firmly that everybody's coming with a roadmap. But there are a gazillion ways to get from here to New York City. You can go the route of going around Cape Horn. You can fly over the poles. You can take a kayak and go the ocean route in different ways. There are so many ways you could get from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I say that because I'm on the West Coast. But how do you want to do it? You can go in a straight line. You can go over hills and valleys. You can go all kinds of different directions, but you need to keep in mind what your objective is. And if you get stuck with where you failed, money that's been lost, and you go on and on and on and on about this, you can't get out of that. You'll find yourself never going anywhere. And I've met people whose lives have seemed to be so empty because they have forgotten how to live. They don't take advantage of where they are right now. And I think that there's just so many ways you can handle situations. But believe me, if you hang on to the past, and you wear it like a badge of honor if you've gone through suffering and gnashing of teeth, that gets to be a pretty heavy load. Let it go. Sometimes it makes for a good story. But what you want to do is create a new story. If you haven't liked the way your life story has read, realize that you're a creator and that you can write a brand new script. But it's up to you to wield the pen of creativity, action, so that you'll get results. And you're the one that's responsible for that. It's very important. Let me share with you how a coach for a little league, his name is Lawrence Houghton, how he handled a situation in working with kids. He knew that when a kid didn't do something particularly right, he had a bad habit of lecturing them. And criticism, well, it's not always something that's accepted in a good way. And he found no matter how tactfully you can point out somebody's errors, the people that you're leading or trying to inspire, they're likely to regard your effort as a lecture. And none of us like lectures. Do you? Nah, none of us do. But he said that he found a way, when he was working with his young players, how to free himself from what he felt was like bad news syndrome. And what he did, he created get-out-of-jail-free cards, and he handed them out every time one of his young players did something right. That was his compliment. So they'd be collecting all these little cards. Now, when they made mistakes, they could use their cards to cancel the impending lecture. I think this is quite clever. And the cards also accomplished more than jailbreaks. They rewarded and motivated good work twice. Once when earned and once when cashed in. And if the players ever doubted the benefit of doing well, they were reminded with every mistake. Interesting card game, isn't it? An interesting way of dealing with a situation. You've got quite a few players on your ball team. It's a nice way of being able to say, gee, you did a good job. This is why it was good, and hand them that card. And then when they're made aware of their mistake, they can turn one of those cards in and they don't have to hear the lecture, but they'll remember the mistake. They still need to know about the mistake, but that card canceled it out. Don't you think that's clever? And he was able to work with his youngsters, and they had a real good attitude with their self-esteem. So you might just want to tuck that away in your beanie and see how that might work for you in your own creative venue. If you're working with a lot of people or you're working with kids or you're trying to figure out how you can reward individuals, and yet at the same time let them know about their mistakes. That's a good thing to do. Donna Sebo here, and we are going to try to reach Carol Buckley at the Elephant Sanctuary. We have left a message for her. She's probably out in the field with those elephants, and as soon as we're able to get through to her, we'll be bringing her on the air. And I wanted to also later on let you know that we are going to be giving out the names of our guests, and I also have a recipe I wanted to share with you. Now, almost every one of us are trying to watch those calories, but we have a sweet tooth. Well, I've got a recipe for blondies, yes, and that is, well, an alternative version of a brownie, but that's why they're called blondies. And these are made with low-fat graham crackers, so you may want to have a pad of paper and a pen handy for it. And I wanted to share with you also, I was sent this by someone by the name of Raven, and it's about a little boy frog. His little boy frog was telephoning the psychic hotline and his personal psychic advisor. And his advisor tells him, you are going to meet a beautiful young girl who will want to know everything about you. Well, this little frog was thrilled. He said, wow, this is great. Will I meet her at a party? No, said his advisor, in her biology class. I know it's Monday. What do you expect? Anyway, just wanted to share that little bit of trivia with you. Also, talking about trivia, I was sent some trivia stuff, and I think it was by Terry. And if you want to send me something in email, feel free to do so. You know, all you have to do is send it to me, to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. And we'd review it, and if we're able to, then we'll be using it on the show. But just know that you can send me stuff, too. I'm always delighted to hear from you. Here's a little bit of trivia. Ben and Jerry's send the waste from making ice cream to local pig farmers to use as feed, which is, you know, a great thing to do. And the pigs absolutely love the waste products, excepting for one flavor. they don't like mint Oreo. And did you know Mel Blanc, who was the voice of Bugs Bunny, that he was allergic to carrots? Mm-hmm. Don't you just love these little things? And that Al Capone's business card used to say that he was a used furniture dealer. And this summer, when you're out in your yard and you hear this little hum and you know it's what we have as a friendly visitor called the housefly, well, the housefly has a tone that is in the middle octave, key of F. So whenever you hear that, realize that he is doing a very active rendition of that middle octave key of F. And there is, oh my goodness, I don't know that I can do this one. I'm going to one day tell you the longest word in the English language. And believe me, it's a doozy. And then there's some anagrams I'll be sharing with you later on. Do you know that only one person in 2 billion is going to live to be 116 or older? Could you imagine yourself living to be 124, 150? That gives you some room for thought. Really means you'd have to make a plan for your life a lot different than most of us usually plan on doing. Just a little bit of trivia, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. Thought you would enjoy it. By the way, Becky Rockford is a woman who decided she was going to do something that was not like what most women would attempt to do. She absolutely wanted to be shimmying up the side of a 5-foot-story utility pole, just like a bear can. And to her, now she's in South Burlington, Vermont, that was her dream. She wanted to be an electric meter reader for the utility company in her local area, because she never, ever wanted to sit behind a desk. She was looking for a bigger challenge, and when a job opened for a lineman, she applied for it. How many of we gals are going to want to be up there on a pole being a lineman? I'm not one, but I appreciate those that do. That's hard work. The guys have a real tough time many, many times. Now, the men that found out she was applying for it just laughed because it said lineman. It's not work meant for a petite female. And even the other women that found out what she was going to do just said, oh, you're nuts. There's no reason for you to try to do this job. Well, she made up her mind. She took night classes. She studied all kinds of homework, learned all the complicated technical procedures, and she got her commercial driver's license because she had to drive a big truck with cherry pickers, and she was barely tall enough to reach the clutch. Now, her final test in her examination, she had to bore a hole at the top of a 50-foot pole. And she said it was scary hanging that high up, secured by only a wide leather belt, and it took every bit of strength she possibly could pull together to operate the heavy drill she had to use. And after she finished, she said her arms were as limp as overcooked spaghetti. But she did it. She qualified, and she made it as a lineman. Do you know, there wasn't a job after that that she couldn't tackle and wouldn't do, and when an ice storm hit her area, she put in an 18-hour day repairing down power lines right along with the guys. And she said people would come out, bring me cookies and coffee. She said it just was very rewarding. Well, eventually, physically, she wasn't able to keep it up. And she was very, well, concerned because she was going to have to give up her job. And she said, you know what? I'm back doing what I love to do. She's reading electric meters now. She said, I get to be outside all day. Plus, she said, all that walking keeps me in shape. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to try again to reach Carol Buckley. And as soon as we do, we're going to be bringing her on the air. This is Donna Sebo. And if you'd like to call in later on, 877-876-5227. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I told you we were going to reach Carol, and she is at the Elephant Sanctuary, in Tennessee. Carol, where are you in Tennessee? You're outside of Nashville, aren't you?
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
We are about 85 miles southwest of Nashville, which is in the southern part of the state, a very rural area.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I have been telling my audience that you were, you know, preparing them for the fact that you were going to be on the air. And I want to give them a little bit of a background about you. You have well over 30 years' experience in the care and management of Asian elephants. And for a lot of years, you traveled, and of course we'll be talking about that. And there's a very special elephant that's been in your care, Tara, and she started a life for you that you would not in a million years have ever dreamt you were going to be involved with. And you have this wonderful, wonderful sanctuary, and there's been a movie made on the sanctuary and all kinds of wonderful programs you're involved with. So I'd love to have you share your personal story with my audience about how you met this wonderful animal, Tara. And there's this book, Travels with Tara, that I have in front of me that I just love. The photography in it is just incredible. Tell us about your personal journey of becoming involved with Asian elephants.
Well, Donna, I appreciate the opportunity because to talk about my path and my work and how Tara has been the individual that has led me, you know, these last 33 years, I believe, on this incredible journey is, you know, I really enjoy sharing it with people. And it started out with my first year in college. I was enrolled and participating in a two-year exotic animal training program in Southern California. And while attending school, I met this baby elephant. She was actually being walked down my street, and I ran out the door and was so surprised to see this tiny little elephant on a leash and, you know, was beside myself. Where is she? Who is she? Where'd she come from? And the man who was walking her was her owner. He said her name was Fluffy. She was less than a year old, had recently been imported from Asia, and was on exhibit at his tire store around the corner. So he also told me that she was on a bottle and she was hand-fed and that I was welcome to come and help feed her anytime. And to his surprise, when he arrived back at the tire store from his walk with her, I was there, and I've been with her for 32 years since. So Tara really, Tara's name was Fluffy. After about a year, I changed it. What I did was volunteer my time to take care of this elephant, and in doing so, I was able to learn a lot about her, and of course, it piqued my interest on the species in general. It has been a life of learning about elephants. I admit that I know very little of what there is to learn, I am sure. And as each year passes, I recognize that I know so little about the species. But I'm really blessed to be doing what I'm doing, and Tara is the inspiration for the whole thing. I purchased Tara about a year after I met her. I trained her to do the traditional circus routine. She and I became an act. We booked ourselves into circuses for the next 15 years, traveled around the countryside and abroad, performing in circuses. We were a team. And then after about 15 years, I found that that lifestyle was no longer conducive to good health for either of us. She was getting larger. She was getting bored with the lifestyle. She needed a change, so did I. And so I looked around and to try and discover, what do you do when you're an elephant living in captivity? What is the best thing to do? And so, of course, I assumed that the best place for a captive elephant would be in a zoo. So I started researching what zoos were available to myself and Tara as a team, mm-hmm. and found that there were zoos out there that were looking for qualified staff, someone to lead their elephant program, someone to train elephants and train their staff. And so I was able to find several positions, actually, in different zoos where it was understood that Tara was part of the package. And in most cases, they perceived that as a very good thing because it added another elephant to their quote-unquote collection. What I learned very quickly, and Tara showed me without any question, is that zoo life was not going to meet her needs. Zoo life was so restrictive. She was in a small enclosure with maybe one, two, or three other elephants. Life was just too boring in that environment, especially with an elephant who had lived the last 15 years traveling around the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of this rude awakening for me, that zoo, you know, was not an environment that was conducive to good health for elephants, not only Tara, but really for any elephants, I really got serious and recognized that I needed to help design and develop a place where captive elephants could live as elephants should live. Ultimately, I would have loved to return Tara and any elephant back to the wild, but that's not an option. So I looked at how do we bring the wild to them? What do we need to do to create a space that is healthy for elephants? And knowing that that might mean that it would put elephants first and people second, I knew that's what I needed to do. And as a result, the elephant sanctuary was born. Tara turned 21 when the sanctuary was born, and she has been, continues to be, the individual that teaches us the most about what elephants need and how we can accomplish that. So Tara is now almost 33 years old, and she is amazing. She has bonded with all the other elephants that have joined the sanctuary. She has a dog that accompanies her everywhere she goes in the habitat. She has always loved dogs, and now she's got this dog that adores her. And just last week, she and the rest of her family, which is seven elephants, were released into the expanded habitat of 2,200 acres. And wouldn't you know, of course, Tara was the one who headed out and found the 25-acre spring-fed lake. And she has been there ever since. And I go out there every day, and I visit with her, and she is as happy as she can possibly be. And the look on her face is like, good job, Carol. It only took you 33 years to get this.
Oh, I just love it. Now, Carol, this obviously is a passion for you, and I know you offer different programs. But I want to remind my listeners that this is Carol Buckley, and the book I have in front of me is called Travels with Tara, and later on we'll give a website and information that you can go to if you'd like more information. The photographs that you have in this book, I think, are just awesome. And I know that they had to have come from different sources, but the ones of Tara as a baby and how her she's so expressive, the eyes. And then you have one grouping of photographs just showing Tara's eyes and the different responses. Elephants cry. They express joy. They have exquisitely long eyelashes. And when I look at this baby that ends up becoming, gee whiz, how much do elephants typically weigh as a
she's 9,000 pounds.
9,000 pounds. Oy. So, I mean, here you've got this little tiny baby who is 700 pounds, and she's fuzzy all over. You described her like a little woolly mammoth, a miniaturized version. But she was, they're such intelligent animals, such intelligent animals. Do you feel sometimes that there is a telepathic rapport between the two of you?
Absolutely. When you spend a lifetime with another individual that is as intelligent and sensitive as elephants are, it would be impossible to not develop the relationship that enables you to, both of you, to read the other one very clearly without having to speak. It's body language. It's just the energy that you give off. It's that you know each other so well. Tara and all elephants are very good communicators if we will simply pay attention. And I have never met an elephant that wasn't willing to communicate. They thrive on community. They thrive on the social situation, and they are advanced in their ability to communicate. It is us humans that lack a lot of the ability. So what I find is that if I just stop and be still and move away from a place of fear or wanting to control, I can read what that elephant is saying as clear as she wants me to. And like I said, I've never met an elephant that doesn't want to communicate how they're feeling. I've never met one that doesn't want to make the relationship work. And with Tara and I, we have a long history. We know each other very well. I adore her. She sees me as her mom. We have had our times, like when she was a teenager, I would say to her, you know, I just don't know how I can spend another day with you. You're unbearable. And she was probably saying the same thing about me. So, but our relationship has lasted, and I have a great deal of respect for her, and I can tell by the way she treats me that she has a great deal of respect for me as well. And as soft and touchy and touchable, I guess, as Tara was as a baby, she is that way now still. Mm-hmm. And I don't spend as much time with her now as I used to. And when I do go out in the habitat and I find her, she is always very happy to see me, not in a clingy way, not mm-hmm. in a needy way. It's like, hey, how's it going? How are you? And when I come over, she will actually take my hand with her trunk. She will pull me underneath her on her chest and hold me to her chest. When her dog comes over, she'll take my, holding my hand with her trunk, she'll take my hand down and pet her dog with my hand. And she'll actually push me down so that I sit on the ground and lean next onto her foot. I mean, she makes it very clear what she wants. She's gentle about it, but mm-hmm. she's very clearly shows me what she wants, and she communicates how she feels about me.
Now, you have quite a few elephants at this time. How many do you have?
We have 19 elephants.
19.
16 are Asian. 3 are African. They're kept in different separated habitats. Mm-hmm. They're all female, and that's because naturally female elephants live together in groups and males live apart.
Interesting. Well, I know we're going to be going on break for just a moment or two here. For those of you who are listening or just tuning in, this is the broadcast. Travels with Tara is the title of the book. Carol Buckley is my guest, and she has the only elephant sanctuary in the United States, and it is absolutely an incredible story. And when we come back, we're going to find out some more about what it takes to be a caregiver to animals from the wild, and more about this fabulous facility where if you're ever back in Tennessee, it's a must-see. It's about 85 miles, what, did you say south or north?
It's 85 miles southwest, and being a true sanctuary, we're not open to the public. That's why we want to introduce you to the Ellie Cam, which is your way to see the sanctuary.
Right. So we will be coming back and telling you more about that. Don't go away. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm continuing my interview with Carol Buckley. We're talking about her wonderful book, Travels with Tara. And by the way, for those of you listening, there is one free giveaway that we're going to have today. So if you would like to get your free copy of Travels with Tara, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call into, and Don will be answering the line, and he'll take your information so that we can get this off to you. Again, 877-876-5227. Carol, as I'm going through your book, which, as I've already mentioned, the photographs in it are just incredibly wonderful, where did you get these photographs? And then I also wanted to mention how Tara was able to roller skate. And when I look at this photograph, that is almost incomprehensible to me. So tell us about the where you got all the photos from, and also about the roller skates.
Well, actually, after the book was written, I was contracted to write the book. And then after it was written, we got together and started to look at the photographs. And I was quite concerned because I thought we wouldn't have enough photos to accompany the storyline. And the problem was that I didn't take photographs of Tara myself as we were growing up. I never thought of it. So what I did is put the word out there and said to people, relatives, friends, people who went to the shows, send me photos if you have photos of Tara when she was little. And so classmates and others sent me many of those photos that they had just taken, you know, with their camera.
Sure.
And so we were able to compile the most amazing set of photos, you know, unstaged photos, photos of just her being Tara, you know. And so it was great. And, of course, one of the photos, I don't know, one or more of the photos, is of Tara roller skating. And this is another one of Tara's claims to fame. She is the world's only roller skating elephant. Now, when Tara learned how to skate, it was, I was looking for another activity for her. Zoos call it behavioral enrichment. They don't call elephants roller skating behavioral enrichment. They call giving your animal something more to do as behavioral enrichment. And I tell you, with an elephant as smart and active as Tara, and as world-traveled as she was, I was hard-pressed to find an activity that she hadn't already experienced. So, she took to roller skating like she'd done it always. It's really just modified walking. It was fun for her. She put the first two skates on, and then she just took off and started skating. So I said, hey, come on back, there's two more. And it was designed so the wheels wouldn't roll backwards, so it was safe for her. It had stoppers. She actually used the stoppers on the front of the skates, and she had all kinds of fun. But it was interesting because her roller skating was, of course, part of my learning experience and part of my even spiritual growth. Because at one point, as she was skating, we were actually at a shopping mall promoting a Shrine Circus, and she's roller skating, and I'm beaming from ear to ear, the proud mother of this amazing animal who is chirping and trumpeting and having a blast. As I'm smiling, a woman grabs me by the sleeve and says, "You are so cruel. This is the cruelest thing I've ever seen. How can you do this?" And I really had to take a step back because I never saw it that way. Because it was, as far as Tara was concerned, it wasn't cruel. But it did make me look at how other people would perceive it. And I tell you, it changed my outlook completely. And from that point on, Tara never roller skated again. And really what it was is I did not want to send the wrong message out to people. I didn't want them to see elephants doing things and thinking, you know, oh, the roller skating is so cruel. If that's what people, how people saw it and they felt bad for her about it, I thought, you know what, she doesn't need to roller skate. We can do other things. She can do other things. So it was a real eye-opener for me, and it was my introduction into the world of animal activism and you know, that type of activity from people who don't own elephants, don't work elephants, but have a deep-seated love for the animals and are concerned about their welfare. So it just opened up, it broadened my horizons and opened me up to a whole new world that I didn't even know existed.
Now, with Tara, she had a friend that you were her world. The two of you were a family, and you traveled. When did Rasha come in? And tell us about Rasha.
Rasha was a blessing. When I realized that traveling with the circus just wasn't going to meet Tara's and my expectation any longer, wasn't able to, you know, provide us both with what we needed, and Tara was bored with it, I looked to zoos. I looked, you know, to see if there was a zoo that maybe we would fit into. And the second zoo that we went to was the Racine Zoo in Racine, Wisconsin, a tiny little zoo that had one elephant named Rasha. And Rasha is 1 year older than Tara. And that elephant had lived alone her entire life in this zoo. As a matter of fact, chained on two legs in her barn, continually, 24 hours a day, for 6 months out of the year, with no companionship, nothing, all that time. So I found out about her, and I said, oh, that's where we want to go. I want to be with Rasha. I want Tara to meet Rasha. And it was love at first sight for the three of us. Rasha was the most amazing individual, loving, caring, took Tara. I mean, Tara was her big sister. Tara was her idol. And because I came along with the package, she says, well, okay, I'll accept you too. An amazing, smart, and caring animal. And we were together for almost 3 years. And as desperately as I wanted to by Russia because I wanted to control what was going to go on in her life. The zoo wasn't willing to sell her and actually was instrumental in splitting us up, which was my greatest heartbreak ever, and Tara's and Russia's as well. And even to this day, I pray that someday Russia will be able to join us here at the sanctuary. Currently, she's living at the Fort Worth Zoo. About 7 years ago, she had a baby. The baby's name is Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year and a half ago, she miscarried another baby. And I every day hope that some magic will happen and Russia will be able to come to the sanctuary, because the reunion would be astounding. And it would be so wonderful that Russia and hopefully her baby would have this freedom.
Oh, that would be absolutely fabulous. I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many young people out there that are interested in being involved with wild animals. And your life has been very passionately dedicated to elephants. What would you say to a young person that wanted to pursue an area of interest like this?
You know, the best advice that I can give is to believe in your dream, because it's yours. And I don't know that a lot of people recognize that yearning, that intense interest, the thing that brings you that bubbling joy is on your path. It's what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And you don't have to know the answers of how all the pieces come together. You just have to be true to your path. And I can't even emphasize enough how important it is for parents, for loved ones, for siblings, to help feed a person's passion. I don't care what the passion is. If my parents had judged my passion, they would not have supported me in my desire to be around and clean up after animals. That's not something my father saw as a career for me. My mother could not envision it. But they said, this is what makes her happy. This is what just makes her, you know, be bubbling silly with joy. So
mm-hmm.
Let's encourage her. And so that's what I say to people. Find that thing that brings you joy and then pursue it. And make the sacrifices that you need to make to pursue it. Don't make excuses like, I'm not going to make enough money, or what will the neighbors think, or how will I get this and that done. Live for today, pursue it for tomorrow, and be true to your dream. And if everyone followed their path and was true to their dream, this world would be amazing. And I
Absolutely.
Think young people need to hear and know that you have a dream, you have a path, and we're going to support you to follow it.
Well, your dream has just been a phenomenal one. Now, we need to know about your website so that we can go to your website and cruise through it, find out about the latest photographs with Tara and what's going on at your sanctuary. And by the way, I was corrected by Carol. Her sanctuary was the first and the largest sanctuary, but there is another one in California, and they have a small amount of land. What'd you say, 35 acres?
They've got 30 acres for their Asian elephants, and they have 70 acres for their African elephants, and I believe at this point they have 8 elephants. And they're in Northern California. They're in a beautiful part of the country, and they've rescued several elephants from environments that were less than good. So they're doing good work.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you have 2,700 acres, which is incredible, and there's just so much you can learn about this. Now, what is your website that people go to?
Our website is elephants.com. That's elephantsplural.com. That'll take you right to our homepage, and from there, you can either go into our website and start to meet the elephants, read their diaries, learn about what we're doing, find out about volunteer opportunities, our internship program, find out how to give. You can also click on an icon that says Ellie Cam. That's our elephant cameras.
Mm-hmm.
We have cameras in our habitat that are streaming 24 hours a day, showing you live what the elephants are doing.
Incredible.
This has been a profound teaching tool for us. It's been incredible because it shows the elephants doing what elephants do without being disturbed by people.
Awesome. My guest today has been Carol Buckley. Her wonderful book, Travels with Tara. We do have a book to give away. Give Dawn a call at 877-876-5227. We're going to be taking a break. Carol, thank you very much for sharing your time with us. And, oh, I just can hardly wait for your next book, which I know it's coming out, so I'm looking
forward
to it.
Well, thank you so
that.
Much. It's been my pleasure.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, but don't you go away. We've got more good things to share. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power. I hope you enjoyed Carol Buckley as much as I did. This woman is just so awesome. And we have one book to give away about her elephant sanctuary. And if you would like to get a free copy of this book, give us a call at 877-876-5227, and my engineer, Don, will be able to take your information so that this can be sent to you directly. The book is called Travels with Tara, and if you know of anybody who is a teacher who is involved with kids and wants to have inspirational information and material, this is awesome. And, of course, her website of elephants.com. Anybody that's interested in animals, I recommend it highly. They've just got a fabulous site. Okay, I want to let you know. Now, by the way, the telephone number 877-876-5227 is open if you would like to call in and chat with me. And let me tell you about who's coming up this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dion Wheeler. We're going to be talking about sports scholarships. And this is something that is so important to so many of you who have young people that are going to be going to college. And you're looking at expenses that are just going through the roof. And if you've got a youngsters that are athletically inclined, this is a must-have. Because anymore, you need to start preparing to send your kids to college when they're like 10 years of age, maybe even younger. Costs are not going to be coming less. They're going to be going up. And this is all about sports scholarships. And this was especially significant to me. And I really enjoyed it when I had an opportunity to interview Dion previously, Dion Wheeler, because a very good friend of mine, and he was enabled to send their daughter to a wonderful university in New York, in upper state New York, because of scholarship potential. But, oh boy, was there a lot of paperwork. So if you've got something along those lines, you're not going to want to miss it. Jack Oldrich is going to be talking with us on Wednesday about investing in nanotechnology. Big stuff coming up. Also, if you're in business, you always know how important referrals are. How would you like to know how you could have endless referrals? Endless referrals. Well, Bob Berg is going to give us that insight. And then on Friday, we're going to have an open mic day. So that time, whenever we have an open mic day, there's no guests, and it's totally dedicated to you, and you're always able to call in, just like you are right now. Also, following week, of course, we've got Memorial Day that's going to be coming up. I'm going to be doing a broadcast live on Memorial Day, and then on Tuesday following Memorial Day, we're going to have Thomas Kolopoulos. We're going to be talking about smart sourcing. We all know about outsourcing of jobs. Well, there's a smart way of doing it. Outsourcing is not necessarily going to be the best way to handle things unless you know how to do it right. So Thomas is going to be bringing us that information, and then if you're a sports person, Jim Lomanson is a man who spent 10 years in putting together material on the shadow boxer. Sweat, sacrifice, and the will to survive. This is an awesome, awesome piece of published material. And if you had a chance to watch the movie The Cinderella Man, boy, this is something that would even go deeper than The Cinderella Man. But I had a real understanding of that story even more after having seen and reviewed the book Shadow Boxer. So that is a must hear. You must join me on that day as well. We always have so many interesting people. Life is full of so many unique things. And I'm so grateful to all of these different people that have all of these unique interests. I wouldn't have the time to explore them, but through the wonder of a book, through the wonder of a DVD, through the wonder of a CD, you can, within just minutes, you can share a space of experience and knowledge with someone that otherwise you might not ever have the interest in exploring. Isn't that a joy? And that's something we ought to teach our children. That's something that should be encouraged with young people. Read. Read. And for those of you as adults, if you don't think you're a good reader, for heaven's sakes, take some classes on reading. You know, I once met a man in his 80s, and this gentleman was absolutely brilliant, but he never learned how to read past the third grade level. And he was so embarrassed because he couldn't read. He supported his family, did all kinds of things, but he could never go forward in life. And sadly, there are a lot of adults that are walking around that cannot read, and they cannot hold down jobs. They'll never get paid well for anything that they do. So this is very important. Now, I said I had a recipe for you. My goodness, we're getting close to running out of time. This is Blondie. So here's the recipe. 1 cup of all-purpose flour. 1 cup of all-purpose flour. I like to use oat flour. I have to stay away from wheat myself. So oat flour is really good. 1 cup of oat flour. That doesn't have to be sifted. You need 3 whole sheets of 2x5 squares of low-fat cinnamon graham crackers, and you just want to grind those up. You can mush them up in a plastic bag or put them in a Cuisinart until they're just powdery. And that comes to about 1/2 cup. And then you need 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/4 cups of packed brown sugar, 1/3 cup of oil, 1/3 cup of oil, 3 egg whites, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and 1/3 cup of mini chocolate chips. My goodness, I think I'm going to run out of time here before I'm able to give the rest of the recipe. You know what? How about if I save this for tomorrow and I give you the rest of the recipe? I'm sure you didn't have a chance to even write it down. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is so much for you to enjoy in life. If it's raining where you are, if the sun's shining, whatever's going on, I want you to know that you've been given a gift, and that's the gift of life. Enjoy it with zest. That's the best way to do it. This is the moment you've got. Live it to the highest and the best of your capability. God bless. I'll be talking with you tomorrow. And don't forget, we're going to be talking about sports scholarships. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.